construction while they're occupying is going to be disruptive, so we would like to go ahead and proceed with the improvements prior to the IG coming on board so that the space is ready.
May I ask a question?
Sure.
Is there space here for the commissioners to review documents?
In terms of, like, just, like, go into a conference room and review documents? Yes, absolutely.
Your parking facilities are adequate?
Yes, they're immediately outside. Again, if you look at this part right here, this is the entrance feature. The visitor parking is immediately all along the front of the building. It's very accessible.
Okay, any other questions?
No.
All right, sir.
It is our hope that future meetings will be there. Hopefully we'll be all done. The next issue we'd like to talk to you about is advisory boards. Perhaps you read in the paper recently the county's looking at our advisory boards with the hope of consolidating and eliminating some. And since we started talking about that, we've added three advisory boards. So hopefully we can reverse that trend. But the subject for today's discussion is that advisory boards are going to be covered by many of these provisions. And to bring you up to date on where we are with that, Patty Hindle. Patty?
Good afternoon. On top of my primary duty of doing the board's agenda, the Board of County Commissioners' agenda, I also maintain a centralized database of all the Board of County Commissioner board appointments to all their various boards and committees. And my role in this is going to be to ensure that those advisory board members are notified and trained on the new code of ethics requirements. So to that end, along with the county attorney's office with Lenny, we've identified which advisory boards are going to be covered under the new code. We estimate that we've got to notify approximately 500 members, including yourselves, of how to access the new website and go online and receive the training. And Lenny has recently completed the training video for the advisory board members. We intend on putting that online with the Code of Ethics Ordinance, a brief guide for advisory board members, and the form acknowledging that they've done the training, read the ordinance, and they would print that out and then send that back to me for me to keep a record of all that. So that's where we currently are. We expect the website to be fully operational by March 1st, and by March 5th, I'll be doing the massive mail out to all the advisory board members with the instructions on going to the website and doing that training.
How much time do they have to complete the training?
Initially, we're going to give them 2 weeks to go ahead and do it, and then whatever I don't receive within that 2 weeks, those forms back, we'll send out a reminder letter to those and give them another 2 weeks to complete that.
Thank you.
All right, sir.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, the county attorney's office has requested perhaps you could do an actual vote on the space issue so that we can have that on the record.
Okay. Can we have a motion to adopt the recommendations of the space committee?
What's the cost?
What's the cost?
We have not run the estimate yet, but we suspect that it'll be just below $75,000.
I guess we're just voting on the concept that it's adequate.
Is that what it is?
Space adequate.
Yeah. Okay. And is that 75 going to come out of our 180 to operate at this point?
No. No, that would not.
It comes out of the county general funds.
Okay. Have you allocated that 180 so far? You have a.
We've not broken that out. We were waiting to get some. We have. We estimated a executive director's staff salary for the 6 or 7 months or whenever, however long it's going to be, and plus benefits and some operating.
Is that so? That's what it's primarily designed to cover to this point?
Yeah, startup operating costs.
At this point, we just need a motion to adopt the recommendations of the committee and move forward so they can begin moving forward on that.
And I guess this would go through the typical county procurement process. And
Hunter?
That's correct. It's a minor renovation, and we would use one of our competitively procured annual contractors to complete the work.
Okay. Mr. McAuliffe?
My comment was you all didn't get the memo that this is a volunteer position.
We didn't.
It's coming.
Okay, now it's clarified.
Yeah, we haven't read the luggage on the train yet. We didn't have this much luggage, and we didn't know that we were pushing the train. May I have a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Okay. Properly moved and second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor of adopting the motion to accept the recommendations of the committee as pertaining to space and location of the building that we're going to occupy. Indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion is carried.
And I'll need to get those floor plans back from you. If you would like a separate copy, I can get you one after some of the sensitive information's been removed.
Okay. Next.
Thanks, sir. The next item on our agenda is relates to employee training. The county employs roughly 6,000 or so employees, a little bit less these days, that will have to complete the requisite training. And Wayne Condry, who is our human resources director, will talk briefly about that.
Good afternoon, commissioners. We're a central service personnel operation for the Board of County Commissioners, which means we do everything from the recruitment and selection of vacancies through classification and compensation of positions, employee relations activities, labor relations, etc. Our role here is twofold. We have two responsibilities. Now, the first responsibility is to ensure that those 5,700 employees all receive training in the new ordinance on ethics by May 1st, effective March 1st, which will be Monday. Training will be online and available for all employees who are desk-bound jockeys like myself. But we've also produced or producing DVDs of the training we produce that can be sent out to departments that have employees that don't have that luxury. We're going to also allow employees to receive this directly online from home as well, because it'll be streamed live from our internet site that Heather's working on. So we're trying to address all those issues in several manners to ensure that all our employees receive the training before May 1st. Department heads will be getting a letter from me that goes out Friday instructing them how this should be handled. We're pushing that responsibility down to each department to ensure that all their people are trained. Employees will also get a hard copy of the ordinance itself, and they will have to acknowledge in writing that they review the ordinance, they understand the ordinance, and they're going to abide by the ordinance. And I'll have David LeBay, who's our training coordinator, talk about that in a little bit more detail. The other part of the operation for us is the recruitment of both the Inspector General operation, Inspector General position, and your Executive Director. Both of those jobs are currently being advertised. They close this Friday at 5:00. We're probably looking for you to provide some guidance, if not today, at a later meeting, to determine how you want us to assist you, if at all, in doing your selection process for that. But I'll let Leilani Yan get you up to speed on that one. So I'll let Mr. Bay talk about the training at this point.
Thanks, Wayne and commissioners. Our mission is to make sure that all 5,700 employees have reviewed the new Palm Beach County Code of Ethics by May 1st, and that they have all signed a form in which they have indicated which way they received the training, whether on the intranet, hard copy, and so forth, or DVD out in the departments. So we're launching May 1st, and the internet and intranet will have both the training video and hard copy of the Code of Ethics available to all employees as well as public folks. And then we will be mailing March 1st the packets out to the departments, which will have DVDs in them, a hard copy for every employee, and instructions on how to get on the links to the internet and intranet. Once every employee sees it, the minute they see it, they sign a form indicating how they received the training and or how they reviewed the code, and then those forms will come over to the Records Department of Human Resources, and the poor records people will have to file all 5,700 of them in the individual employees' folders. So we're ready, set, and go.
I have a point of clarification, Mr. Connor. You said the cutoff is on Friday. For those,
well, the cutoff is we're sending correspondence out to the department heads on Friday.
Oh, I see.
Advising them that effective March 1st, their employees now need to start receiving their training. Okay. And these various methods are available for them, and it's up to them to ensure that their employees receive that training through whatever methods available, and that's why we tried to make it as easy as possible for those operations in order for their employees to get that training. We want that training to be done by May 1st. That correspondence is going to actually, I cheated a little bit, it's 2 weeks before May 1st because we want it in their files by May 1st. We're asking them actually to have it back, I believe, by April 23rd.
Yeah.
And are you also handling the applicants for the executive director and the IG?
Yes, we are.
Are you handling that?
Yes.
And right now, are we going to be informed as to a job description or what we're hiring them to do?
I believe you should have a copy of the job announcement in your packet.
How's that
for
going?
Both positions.
How's that going?
It's going fairly well, actually, and in fact, without stealing some thunder, I think we've probably got about 55 or so applications for the IG. I'm not sure how many we have the executive director at this point. 19 for the executive director at this point.
And you're going to sort of go down through them and reduce them in numbers?
Mr. Chair, that brings us to our last item. And that's one of the things we wanted to get direction from you on. As I said before, we are your staff. There are several different ways we can do this. Leilani Yan is our recruitment manager and will be more directly involved in this process than anyone. In terms of Inspector General, the five of you and State Attorney and the Public Defender are the selection committee for Inspector General. And the five of you will be the selection committee for the executive director. In terms of how we get from 5 o'clock Friday when both jobs close out and we've accumulated all the applicants for both of them to we actually have someone hired is what we wanted to talk to you right now about. There are different models that we can use. Our staff can use the descriptions and the criteria that was used in the advertisement to cull the group down to a smaller group that you can then review and decide who you want to interview, or you can do that yourself, or somewhere in the middle.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to at least propose that, you know, we have two separate parallel selection processes going on. That is, you all as an ethics commission are going to vet and pick your executive director, and then that you're going to staff out your commission. We have a limited tenure purpose, important, I hope, but limited tenure. But I think that's a separate – we actually constitute a separate body for that selection process. So you're not acting as the ethics commission. You're acting as – selection committee. I don't know what we ended up naming it, the IG selection committee thereabouts. And so I just want to know that we're going to go along two parallel paths, and we'll have a separate notice and meeting and process. It might run in parallel to what you're doing.
So you and the public defender intend to have your packets, and you're going to make a decision there?
No. We'll meet as a collegial of these seven, a deliberative body of seven, but you're going to be wearing technically a separate hat. You're not an ethics commissioner. You're IG selection committee member there. And we will develop as the seven our process. It could, in effect, mirror what you all have decided as five to do, but it may not.
Are we allowed to discuss that among ourselves with respect as a committee member as opposed to an ethics commissioner?
We're still wearing a different hat. We're still subject.
So our review of these applications is still subject to everything, all the sunshine laws.
Yes, it is. I can tell you briefly how we normally vet applications for executive-level positions in the county. We do an advertisement. We develop a set of criteria, which would use things like education and experience. And staff, senior staff, would then take and reduce the larger pile down to a manageable group and present that information to the final selection group. I'm speaking globally now, who then would say, we want to cut the list from 10 down to 5. We want to see more because we're not happy with the group we see. some combination along those lines. And that's certainly something we could do for you if that was what you were interested in.
Now, I just want to, you know, we've gone through a long and successful process of trying to have the IG be an independent individual holding a position here. And while I think normally that process is fine for what the county does, here I think we have a special circumstance. What I would propose that we do as the IG selection committee, and I know we're not sitting as that, we're kind of doing a informal conversation, is that we create, I feel strongly that we should vet all the applicants separately as a selection committee. It's more work, for sure, but it's in complete, it's consistent with how we're trying to create and form this this office. We can always appoint a subcommittee to do some of the things. Instead of sitting as a group of seven, we can have a group of three, I believe, and do it that way, and then we report back to the larger group. It's still public. No, that goes without saying.
Mr. Condry, what have you done by way of advertising? Would you tell me what you've done or how you did this?
Sure. I'm Leilani Yan, and I'm the manager of recruitment. And we are tasked with soliciting applications openly for this position. To date, we had worked with county administration, the county attorney's office, and the members who were seated at the time for the implementation advisory committee to develop the job descriptions and job advertisements to actually solicit applications for both positions. We researched other IG offices. We combed current vacancies across the nation for similar jobs nationwide. We used language straight from the ordinance and from the code as well and finalized the ads. We then posted them in over 20 sources per job, and those were opened at the beginning of the month. They were done at the national, state, and local level. They include everything from major job boards like CareerBuilder.com, to targeting professional associations like the Palm Beach Bar Association, some industry-specific groups such as the Institute for Internal Auditors, and entities with governmental memberships such as the League of Cities. We use multiple media, including online career opportunity pages, newsletters, email blasts to members of professional associations, print or display ads, Channel 20, the Palm Beach County Ethics page, which Heather and Lisa had spoken about. The ads were also strategically placed to reach out to diverse groups of job seekers. We targeted women's, African-American, and Hispanic professional industry groups, included sources such as the American Women's Association of CPAs, the National Forum for Black Public Administrators, and La Palma, just to give you an idea. IG opened February 1st and executive director on February 8th, so they've been running 4 and 3 weeks as of this Friday at 5 p.m. We have just over 50 applications in for IG, about 27 of which are from out of state. We have 19 applications in for the executive director, of which 7 are from out of state. About 30% within each pool have actually stated their minimum salary requirement to this point. And by the end of this week, I would expect we'd have about 60 applications in for IG and maybe 25 for the executive director position.
I'd like Mr. McCullough's comment that we read everything, but by the same token, keeping in mind the economy is a little tough right now, I'm sure we may have some folks who don't quite meet all the requirements.
Absolutely.
Is it possible that we get the applications that meet the requirements? Because you follow the ordinance is what it looks like. Is that correct?
We do.
Okay.
I'd prefer that they be ranked according to whether they meet the requirements or don't, but since we didn't participate in the job description, we might find something that doesn't meet the requirements but does meet our requirements. So I'd like to see them all. But I can see your point about separating the ones that the human resources thinks are particularly worthy.
All right, that's an even better idea.
Yeah. Have you got an estimate as to the percentage that you would immediately dismiss as unqualified?
At this point, maybe 10%.
How much time are we going to have for looking over these things? When do you plan to get them to us, and when do you...
You're going to have these electronically available to us, right?
Actually, we'll have to make copies. They are submitted online as well as on paper, but we do have to print them. We're not able to transmit them electronically yet.
Are you not able to set up an electronic file that we can have access to?
We can set up scannable files that you could have access to. It would just
save a tree.
Yes.
And what's our time?
It's up to the commission.
And is it my understanding that right now this ordinance does not include all the municipalities?
That's correct.
And are our job descriptions boutiqued to fit those who may be coming lately or afterwards for the municipalities?
Lenny?
It should. It's a skill set that would apply just as well in the city. Our aspirational goal, the code of ethics that you all will be dealing with takes effect on May 1. I think you've heard a few folks say that. Sometime around there, it would be pretty good. The main reason why we endeavor to get all of this done immediately rather than just wait until the election cycle and have it be countywide to start with was so that we had a chance to see what worked well and didn't work well, to give it a bit of a test drive before we went to the voters in the fall. So, I'm not suggesting that we should rush, but I don't think that relaxing is exactly the right way to approach it either.
It's very diplomatic.
All right, any other questions on this matter?
I have no voice, but I have a question. Interested in Mr. Baker, just what role, if you could tell us, do you see your organization having in that process, if any?
Well, we really will not have any role in the selection of the Inspector General or of the Executive Director of the Ethics Committee. Our role is primarily to work with staff to see that you, sitting as a selection committee and as the Ethics Committee, are given all you need to do your job.
Thank you.
Okay, we ready for other issues?
If I just may clarify, Mr. Chair, I believe the direction would be then to give you all the applicants, but somehow categorized as meeting qualifications and not.
I imagine so. Is that consensus?
Fair enough.
Plus, obviously, in the cover communication, the job description, for example, I don't think Carrie has had the opportunity to
Absolutely.
Review it yet.
And would you like to use the same basic process for the executive director as well, since you guys will be dealing with both of them simultaneously? And
when is our space going to be available?
We're planning on having it ready for that May 1st, but if it turns out that you're going to have
a small dining room table.
it's ready. It was an occupied space by an operating unit. There are two offices that we just actually have to construct and the special requirements for the analyst. So it's not a lot of work. If you do have some people come on early, we could segregate part of the space for them to work in separate from the rest. But if we put the full complement in there won't be enough room for the construction workers to finish.
Let me ask this, Brad. Are we providing insurance, and what's the status of the volunteer group here on this committee?
The status of the volunteer group?
Are we insured under the county insurance program, and are we insulated from the attorneys who want to sue us?
Do you know? Why are you looking at me?
I'll let Lenny answer that. Quite as good as
the coverage. No, you're speaking D&O type insurance, correct?
Yes.
Office and directors type liability insurance.
Well, legal matter that you would have to deal with defending the way you do your job here, if you successfully defend it, we do have a policy and procedure in place where legal fees are paid for successfully defending. You actually have a common law right to it, too, as a public official, but we have it as a part of our policy and procedure manual for public officials.
What do you call a successful defense? You have to win?
You have to win. Yes. You lose, you're on your own.
So you have to front the money.
You front the money and get reimbursed a lot. Although, actually, we, through the policy, we will pay a bill directly. It kind of comes down to whoever you employ to defend you, how long they'll wait.
We are the county.
Okay. Any other issues other than the ones that we've discussed here?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir. Mr. Baker.
Thank you. Two items. The first is timing. I think the ordinance has a time period that's, again, aspirational, but it's best efforts to achieve the appointment of the Inspector General by, and my recollection is, 150 days after the enactment of the ordinance. It's either May 1 may be that date, but there isn't a date that the ordinance sets out as the target date. It's not a firm date, but the target date for appointing the Inspector General. Lenny will give you that in a moment.
Yeah, it's 120 days from the effective date, so it would actually be
May 1st.
Right.
Okay. Then the second item is, there was a lot of talk about the, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of good activity in the training of the county's employees, but the reach of the ethics code is beyond the county's employees. Of course, it applies to the boards, and the boards are already scheduled for training. But it also will apply to vendors and folks who do business with the county. And that's the one aspect of it that I think that there needs to be some clarity in terms of what the training intent is for that. I don't know what the answer is, but that's the question.
Part of our function is what you're saying, mm-hmm. according to the ordinance as I read it.
That's correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And the county hasn't quite done anything on that, is what I'm hearing, yet?
That's correct.
Okay, so you want direction from us on how to do that.
Okay. I haven't read the ordinance thoroughly yet either. How many constitutional officers are involved in this?
Zero.
Zero. Okay. Narrows down.
As we cannot compel them to, if they choose to participate voluntarily, then they can.
But with regard to David Baker's question, I think I'd like to, rather than try to come up with something off the seat of my pants, I'd like to think about it for a little bit of time, maybe by the time of our next meeting, because it sounds like we're going to be meeting pretty soon anyway, and maybe come back with an idea at that particular point as opposed to doing something half-baked right now.
All right. Any?
Can I ask you to explain what you just said, that we cannot compel the constitutional officer?
Yes. The Board of County Commissioners passed these ordinances, and
did they exempt themselves?
Did who exempt them?
The Board of County Commissioners.
No, the Board of County Commissioners, that's who we're talking about. When I say the county, I mean the Board of County Commissioners. The other constitutional officers, which are the sheriff, the tax collector, the property appraiser, the clerk of the court. Am I missing anybody?
Supervisor of elections.
How quickly I forget. Lots of mental block.
The judges, yeah. The state attorney.
No, there's a yeah.
The county agents.
We
could not include them within the scope of the ordinances, but if they choose to participate voluntarily, they can. And then Lenny mentioned the city participation. If we do a charter amendment, that would ask that question.
For example, I'm speaking in front of the healthcare district tomorrow about opting in and have been in continuing discussions with the school board about an opt-in. And then, of course, the county has committed and will be working with the implementation group and with any others about the language for the charter amendment. And if that charter amendment passes by a majority in any municipality, then your reach will then extend to those municipalities, right?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, if I could just clarify one thing. The implementation committee is not, as the committee itself, is not dealing with the charter amendments. There is a group called the Palm Beach County Ethics Initiative, which will continue to work with the county to deal with the charter language. And the reason for that is if it was the implementation committee, would be bound up again in the need for holding public meetings and so forth, and would probably never reach a consensus on what the group would support for the charter amendments. So that will be done on a separate track. That will not be done by the implementation committee.
Could you tell me one more time, these special districts in the county, are they covered currently? Or will they have to be part of the? They're not.
They're not.
The charter is sort of like our constitution. Okay, it was adopted by the people. State law allows a charter, a county in its charter, to indicate when a county ordinance can apply in a city. Okay, and that's why we can have it apply in cities. We can't pass a county ordinance and have it apply to the way the supervisor of elections might want to deal with her office or any kind of special taxing district. So in these ordinances, there is provisions there where the you all and the inspector general are allowed to negotiate interlocal agreements to have these folks fall under your jurisdiction. And that's what we're encouraging. That's what we hope to see happen, whether it's the port or the school board or the health care district.
I'd like to get a clear picture as to the current scope, though, in terms of who is
Palm Beach County government only.
Correct. Okay.
Meaning elected officials, advisory board members, employees, and vendors.
Right. Of the Board of County Commissioners.